Hello, I'm Dango Rose, and you're listening to the Mountaineer Podcast in conjunction with the Mountaineer Newspaper, the voice of the Peak to Peak, online and in print. Brought to you by Mountain Vale Media. Now, listen in for the show.
Hello and welcome to the Mountaineer Podcast. Everybody's listening. This is Dango Rose. With me today is Eric Richard Stone. Eric, how are you doing?
Doing great, Dango. Good to see you there.
Yeah, good to see you too. Good to hear you. You've been up in Nederland for a little while. How long have you lived in the area for?
Which time?
Great question. I can relate.
It's Niwot's curse. You can't ever leave for long. You'll end up coming back.
Right.
So I first came to Boulder in 94, moved up to Sugarloaf in 97, moved back down to Boulder for a while, moved to Idaho and came back to Sugarloaf in 2008, moved to Nederland area, closer to the Nederland area in Eldora in 2014. I moved to the house I now own out on Magnolia 4.5 years ago.
Right on. I can totally relate with you on this. You've been playing music that whole time up in this area, in a sense.
In a sense, I mean, I've been playing music since 1975. Woo-wee. Was my first real paying gig. That should tell you how old I am.
It just tells us how wise you are. And where was that first gig in 1975?
That first gig was in Philadelphia.
All right, Philly. Cool.
I grew up outside of Philadelphia, played around Vermont and Maine a lot, New England, moved to Colorado in 1980, and haven't been back east since then. It's all been Rocky Mountain states.
Well, first of all, how would you describe your music for those who haven't heard you play or haven't heard any of your recordings? Let's start there, I suppose.
I guess it would be somewhat steeped in the old folk tradition of the 70s, but influenced a lot by both traditional and modern bluegrass styles, as well as what's now being known mostly as Americana style folk, which is kind of a blend of everything together, bluegrass, folk, blues.
You know, folk music is such an overarching concept because it's like music for the people, by the people. In this day and age, it's almost like hearkening back to the 50s when Pete Seeger was put on trial for being an un-American. So I wonder if that's going to happen to folk musicians again. Hopefully not. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, we get around that by calling it Americana.
That's right. That's right. That was a good evolution of the music there. Political tangents aside, how is the mountains here and being in the Rocky Mountains influenced your musical stylings?
Hugely. Even from the beginning on the East Coast in New England, when I lived there, my music and writing was always influenced by the natural environment. You know, there are different kinds of songs. You can write story songs. You can write feeling songs. You can write songs about the situation you're in, you know, love songs or hate songs or whatever, protest songs. The kinds of things that influence you can be social situations, emotional situations. And very often for me, it's the natural environment. It's the feeling and inspiration that mountains give me. So moving here was sort of a natural for me to be in the mountains, and I've never wanted to be anywhere else. Every once in a while, I get influenced by going to Costa Rica on vacation out to the coasts, but the mountains are sort of where my inspiration generally comes from. The Snowmageddon is a great time for songwriters.
It's a great time for songwriters. We just crave it.
In fact, I had a whole CD come out of a storm that we had when I was living in Eldora, and we had pretty much 4 days of just being stuck, not being able to get out. Yeah. But I had internet, and I wrote this song, decided I was going to try something. I was going to call it song sourcing, like crowdsourcing. So I just put it out there on Facebook, my record, first sort of blush at this song. Carrie Minor and Ray Smith, the Strange Birds, were the ones who got right back to me. And not only had they added their parts, Ray took the file that I put out on Facebook and recorded a drum track, a lead guitar track, and Carrie did some vocal harmonies. And then they said, hey, what else have you got? Why don't you give me some other tracks? And for at least two of those 4 days, we were just shipping tracks back and forth over the internet. And that was the genesis for my album, Circle Around the Sun, which is the first collaboration that I did with Ray and Carrie that was really kind of an eye-opener for me.
That's beautiful, man.
All in the middle of the Snowmageddon.
All in the middle of the Snowmageddon. And where can our listeners hear your music, or where can they download or purchase CDs?
Oh, all of the regular places, CD Baby, iTunes, Amazon. Help me out directly by just going to ericrichardstone.com, and you'll see links to my albums and places where you can buy them and download them right there on my website.
Folks in town can also just come into Brightwood Music, and your CDs are right there by the register, eh?
Yep, there and over at Very Nice Brewing, which Susan and Jeff at Very Nice Brewing Company allow me to play a gig there every month, at least once a month when I'm in town, when we're not shut down by COVID. So hopefully we'll be doing that again real soon.
Hopefully so. Hopefully by the summertime, huh?
We'll see. That's my regular monthly gig there at Very Nice. It's been a mainstay.
You have a group right now, Eric Stone and the Witness Protection Program. Is that right?
That's right.
That's with a friend of yours that you've known for quite a while?
Yeah. Tom Hall and I met about 15 years ago at the Rocky Grass Academy over at Planet Bluegrass and Lions. Tom was living in Durango at the time. He and I started playing pretty seriously together about 4 or 5 years ago. When I would go out on tour, he would very often be in the Northwest. I'm in Oregon, Washington, and come over to Idaho and Wyoming and Montana, where I usually tour each summer, and join me for several gigs. And then I convinced him to move up here to Netherland 2 years ago. Both of us are school bus drivers during the school year, and then we go out on tour. But Tom and I play as a duo quite a bit. We add a bass player who right now is Doug Armitage from Brightwood Music. And we also use Mike Sivkovich from the old Ragged Union band. But Mike has been desperate to play more dobro. Mm-hmm. And so currently he is the Witness Protection Program's dobro player.
You know, I've had the good fortune of jamming with him a little bit on when he's playing dobro. And he's sounding great on that instrument.
I know. He just picked it up less than a year ago, and now he's jamming with the best. And, you know, he probably is one of the finest, along with people like Eric Turin and Casey Groves. He's probably one of the finest upright bass players in the area, but we love having him play dobro for us, too.
Nice. Oh, yeah, we have such a rich musical history here and community. You know, you just mentioned Green, Casey Groves down in Lions, everything that goes down at Oscar Blues and Planet Bluegrass. Man, I just remember the days at the Acoustic Cafe up in Netherland with some of the pictures along down there.
I was there.
Yep. And the Pioneer.
I was living on Sugarloaf back then. And and there was this guy named Dango Rose who used to play. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That was my it was at the Acoustic Cafe. That was like my first pro gig.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was those days. We're talking back in the old Buck Buckner days.
Yes.
And we used to go from that jam on Sunday afternoon up to the Sundance on the Hill. And Buck used to host a jam there too.
Right.
And Jeff Austin and the Beginnings of Yonder were there. Michael King started around then too with a group that he called Skin. And Michael and I go way back to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, where he was a cellar dweller. He lived in my cellar for a winter before he went away to Austin. And then all of a sudden we ran into each other in the streets of Boulder, Colorado, and he was playing with a band called Skin up here in Netherlands, which somehow morphed into String Cheese Incident.
Part of it.
And of course, Vince Herman and Silas and my oldest son were buddies in Rocky Grass Academy going back years. This area, including your contributions to it, just fostered so many wonderful bands and a wonderful community of musicians that's been real supportive to our kind of music. I love working on guitars, so come see me at Brightwood.
Yeah, and you do great work too. You were telling me one time about a guitar you found in a dumpster out behind Rob's Music down in Boulder, and you just sort of refurbished the whole thing, finished it up, and it was just like good to go, brand new.
Yeah, and that guitar ended up in the hands of Tyler Renix's sister, as I recall. I think Tyler bought it for her birthday present. An old Fender acoustic, the bridge had ripped off. And I grabbed it out of the dumpster, took it home, put on a new bridge, fixed it all up, and gave it to Tyler for his sister.
Nice. So for all you listening, Eric Stone is your man for some guitar repair work as well. He's got his CDs at Brightwood Music.
You know, I get real sad when it's over because I want to be doing it again. When the CD's finished, I feel like I've got, what am I going to do now? Oh my God.
You just kind of hop right into the next one.
I guess I just got to start writing more songs. That's all there is to it.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. Thank you to all of our listeners, Eric Richard Stone and the Witness Protection Program. This is Dango Rose reporting for the Mountaineer Podcast. Everybody's listening. Take care, y'all, and see you on the other side.
And that's it for our show. Subscribe online to get access to more news, weekly updates to our community calendar, and a link to our YouTube channel by visiting themountaineer.com. Be sure to use the coupon code PODCAST when subscribing for a 10% discount, only available to our listeners. I'm Dango Rose. Thank you for listening.